Hey there, folks. Chuck Holton here. I'm in the airport in Panama on my way back to the United States. I'm going to go back and see the kids and the grandkids for a week or so. And so I really need to talk about what's going on in Artsakh, in Armenia, the Nagorno-Karabakh region. There is a mass exodus taking place right now. We're talking about 120,000 Armenians who are fleeing for their lives from the Azeris who are attacking their homeland. Imagine yourself faced with the option of staying in your home and being overtaken by, let's say, Mexico. Let's say Mexico somehow managed to take over the United States. And so you get to become a part of Mexico and all of their laws and all of their culture and language and everything is coming to your town. If you don't want to become Mexican, you can leave your home and you don't really have anywhere to go, but you can flee to somewhere else. And then add to that the fact that, let's imagine you have never traveled, you've never left your home in your entire life. You don't have a passport, you don't know anywhere, you don't know how to travel, there's not really any good options for traveling, but those are your options, to either get subsumed by an unfriendly, hostile, enemy country with a different religion, a different language, a different culture, or lose your home forever and never see it again. That is what the Armenians are facing right now in the Nagorno-Karabakh district. They are being systematically kicked out of their homes. Azerbaijan has made a claim over this Armenian land. It's traditionally Armenian land. It's been Armenian land since time immemorial. I mean, Armenia has been around for more than 5,000 years. Azerbaijan has been around since about 1917. But because Azerbaijan has the gas and the oil, they've been able to build up their armed forces at a much faster rate. Their armed forces are about five times the size of Armenia's army. And Armenia was relying on Russia to protect them from Azerbaijan and from their other their enemy on the other side, which is Turkey. Unfortunately, relying on Russia to help you is not a very good plan, and the Armenians are paying for that now. This is a tiny Christian country in Asia that wants to modernize, that wants to become more like the West, their democracy, but they are really stuck. I mean, they just have no good options for them right now. So you have to understand a little bit about the history of this. Armenia and Azerbaijan have been at odds with each other since about 1991, which is when the Soviet Union broke up. And Azerbaijan declared independence and broke away from Russia. The Armenians declared independence, but they wanted to remain tied to Russia. And there's this little exclave of Armenian people inside Azerbaijan that's called the Nagorno-Karabakh. It's, again, now about 120,000 people. It was about 300,000 at one point. But those 120,000 people, back in the day, 300,000 people, wanted to join with Armenia, not with Azerbaijan. The reason that they have these exclaves is that Stalin, in his ridiculous thinking, didn't want the Armenians to rise up and be a political threat to him during the Soviet Union. And so he sort of gerrymandered the boundaries of Armenia and Azerbaijan to make a bunch of exclaves of Azeris inside Armenia and a bunch of exclaves of Armenia inside Azerbaijan. They're very, very tiny. It might just be one little village in some cases, but in the case of the Nagorno-Karabakh, it's a lot of land and a lot of people. I've been there a couple times and was there during the war in 2020. So in 1991, Azerbaijan started a war against Armenia because the Armenians in the Nagorno-Karabakh wanted to stay Armenian. They didn't want to become part of Azerbaijan. But they are about a four-hour drive into Azerbaijan from Armenia, and so it's kind of complicated. So the Azeris started a war against Armenia. Armenia at that time had a bigger, more powerful army, and they won the war and managed to not only secure the Nagorno-Karabakh, but to push out the boundaries a little bit and have like a buffer zone around the Nagorno-Karabakh to keep the Armenians in the Nagorno-Karabakh safe, because the Azeris would have just kept shelling Stepanakert and the major cities there if they had been able to be close enough. That stayed that way for about 30 years with a few flare-ups now and then. 2016, there was a bit of a conflict, but 2020 was the major war. By then, the Azeris had built up their armed forces to, like I said, five times what Armenia had. And when they did that, then they took over a large swath. And they would have taken over the entirety of the Nagorno-Karabakh if it wasn't for Armenia appealing to Russia, Russia stepping in and telling Azerbaijan, knock it off. Russia then sent peacekeeping troops in to the Nagorno-Karabakh to help, you know, with that, to maintain the peace. As the war in Ukraine ramped up, though, Russia has been pulling troops out of Armenia and sending them to Ukraine. And when they send them to Ukraine, then the Azeris start looking around and saying, oh, here's our chance. Well, that came to a head just about a month ago because, go back about 10 months ago, the Azeris blocked the only road between Armenia and the Nagorno-Karabakh called Artsakh. That's called the Lachin Corridor. And they initially said they were doing it because it was eco-activists that were protesting mining that was taking place in that area. But everybody knew that they were actually just agents provocateurs that were paid by Azerbaijan to go there and block that road. That cut off the Armenians from that live in Artsakh from Armenia. And cutting those guys off meant no food, no medicines getting in. And they were really in a bad way. That's been getting worse and worse and worse as that blockade has continued. Then Azerbaijan started saying, well, that's Azerbaijan anyway, that's not Armenia, and so we're gonna take it over. And these people, if you're Armenian in Artsakh, you can stay living there, no problem. You can just, become Azeri. We'll let you become Azeri and you'll be a full-fledged Azeri citizen. Well, everybody knew that wasn't really going to happen because there's so much animosity between those two peoples that you do not want to be an Armenian in an Azeri land or vice versa. So the Armenians wouldn't accept that. But as Russia's influence waned and got weaker and weaker, then now what we see is the Azeris attacking Armenia. And there's a lot of people saying that the Russians actually allowed this or even encouraged it, because as Russia didn't do anything when Azerbaijan was pushing and pushing and pushing, the Armenians started saying, we got to look somewhere for help. We're too small. Armenia is a tiny, tiny country, 2.5 million people. And so they've got to do something. So they started appealing to the West, and the United States saw an opening and sent some envoys in there to talk to Armenia and offer a little support. Now, this gets really complicated because the United States is also giving aid and even military aid to Azerbaijan and to Turkey, who are the aggressors here. So it's kind of hard for us to say, Azerbaijan, you shouldn't be doing that, if we're giving aid to the very people who are doing it. Nevertheless, the American ambassador to Armenia went out to the Lachin Corridor, stood with the Armenian people, spoke out for the Armenian people, and has tried to make some headway there unsuccessfully. Then about a week ago, the United States sent U.S. troops into Armenia to train with the Armenian forces. It was very, very small, very small exercise. The 10th Mountain Division sent 85 troops to do, like, basically riot training, you know, counter riot training, that sort of thing, civil disobedience or civil disturbance training. And that got Russia angry. When the United States sent troops in there, Russia was not happy with that. And so they're saying now that Russia sort of gave the go-ahead to Armenia to go in and attack, gave the go-ahead to Azerbaijan to go in and attack the Armenians in Artsakh. And they did. And so they started an all-out, full-scale invasion of Artsakh. And rather than repeat the absolute debacle of 2020 and lose, I mean, Armenia lost 5,000 men in 44 days in 2020. Nikolai Pashinyan, the president of Armenia, basically just capitulated right away and surrendered. And so now Azerbaijan is taking over the entirety of the Nagorno-Karabakh district. They've already renamed it. They're pulling down signs. They're renaming all the cities and all the streets and everything, and doing what they can to make it as permanent as possible, as fast as possible, before anybody changes their mind. The Armenians that live in that area, 120,000 people, have all of them in mass said, there's no way we're staying here and living under Azeri rule. And so they're all fleeing to Armenia. Problem is, there's no place for them to live in Armenia because Armenia is already full of Russians and Ukrainians who have fled the war over there. So there's not a lot of excess capacity in Armenia right now for the Armenians that are fleeing the Azeri attack. So, and this is not over. The Azeris are continuing to they've taken over Artsakh, but they are still shooting Armenians. They're killing Armenians. I saw footage yesterday of Azeri forces looting Armenian houses, machine gunning Armenian houses that still have people in them. So the people that are fleeing from Artsakh are fleeing for good reason, because the Azeris will kill them. It'll be another genocide of the Armenians if they stay. And so the world is, you know, making small note of what's happening. You barely see much about it on the mainstream news. And that's just because, here's the problem with Armenia. Armenia just doesn't have a lot to offer in terms of natural resources, in terms of, you know, anything but location. I mean, there, with every conflict that I've ever covered, there's a moral component, and that is who's right and who's wrong. Well, it's obvious that Armenia is not in the wrong on this, because they're not the aggressors. They just want to live in peace. And so we should stand with Armenia simply on moral grounds to say that what Azerbaijan is doing is wrong. It's every bit as wrong as what Russia is doing to Ukraine. And here's where it gets super complicated, because there are a ton of people in Ukraine that are cheering for Azerbaijan right now and saying, yay, go Azerbaijan. Why? Because Armenia is allied with Russia. But it doesn't matter. Armenia is allied with Russia because they had to be. They didn't have a choice. There was nobody else that would stand up for them. They didn't have another option. And so they had to ally with Russia. It is morally reprehensible for any Ukrainian to say that the Azeris should be doing what they're doing. That would be just like cheering for Russia to attack Ukraine. Just like it. And so the crazy thing is, I'm seeing journalists that are going like this. So you got journalists like this jackass Patrick Lancaster, who has been in Russia, in the Donbas region, reporting from Russia on the invasion as if it's a good thing, and absolutely parroting all of the talking points that Russia puts out. And I've never seen him say one thing contrary to the Russian narrative, one thing that criticizes Russia, even when he was present when they were committing war crimes. And there's video proof of that. But yet now he's in Artsakh, or in Armenia. He didn't go to the war zone. He's out there in Yerevan. And he's condemning what Azerbaijan is doing to Artsakh. How can you do that? How can you switch sides like that? you got to be consistent. I mean, if you want to have any moral ground whatsoever, you have to be consistent. And he's not being consistent. Patrick Lancaster is switching sides here. He's cheering for the aggression of Azerbaijan at the same time. I'm sorry, he's cheering for the aggression of Russia at the same time he's condemning the aggression of Azerbaijan against Armenia. So from a moral standpoint, we should be standing with Armenia. There's no two ways about that. But from a political standpoint, it's very hard for America to make the case that they should be standing with Armenia, because what does Armenia have to offer? But here's the secret, and this is why you see more Democrats standing up for Armenia right now than you do Republicans, because there are a couple of million Armenians in the United States, and most of them are in Democratic districts like California. So any Republican candidate who wanted to, presidential candidate who wanted to gain about 2 million votes like that, all he'd have to do is stand up for Armenia. And that's what he ought to be doing. Again, from a moral standpoint, if for no other reason. So the bottom line is that Armenia looks, east and west, they see enemies in Turkey and Azerbaijan. They look south, they see Iran, which is America's enemy. And yet they're about the closest thing Armenia has to an ally at this point. And that makes it even harder for America to support Armenia, because they're allied with one of our biggest adversaries in Iran. And Iran does not want Azerbaijan to take over the rest of Armenia, but Azerbaijan is already talking about it. Azerbaijan is already saying that Armenia is just Western Azerbaijan, that's really Azerbaijan, and they're setting the stage to try to take the entire country of Armenia. They're going to start with the Syunik province, which is on the border now with Azerbaijan. It's one of the most beautiful provinces of Armenia. It's where Tatev is. If you look up the Tatev Monastery, it's absolutely beautiful. And it would be an absolute horrific shame if Azerbaijan were to successfully take over that region. The reason they want that is because they want to put a pipeline across from Azerbaijan into Nakhichevan, which is an exclave of theirs, so that they can get their gas and oil out to the west. That's the biggest reason the Azeris really care about this, because they want to be able to sell their oil to the west, and they don't have a good way to get it there right now. And a pipeline across Armenia would be a great way to do that. If Armenia was smart enough to say to Azerbaijan, look, leave us alone and we'll give you a pipeline across our country to get your gas and oil out, that might hold the Azeris off for a while. But the problem is the Armenians and the Azeris are so at odds with each other. People would be bombing that pipeline all the time and destroying the pipeline. They just can't get over, There's really not much chance for reconciliation here, and that's the real hard thing. So things are bleak for Armenians. Please pray for Armenia. If you want to help Armenians, look up Jacob Persley on Facebook. He can give you ways that you can help the Armenians. You can get a hold of me. You can contact me, hotzonehalton@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Locals at chuckhalton.locals.com. And of course, stay tuned here on YouTube. I may have to go over to Armenia here shortly and cover this. It's really turning into a huge conflict, and it's not getting enough coverage. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I got to go catch an airplane. We'll see you later. It's right there.